Today is Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and we will take this opportunity to have a one-way conversation, one-way discussion about Rosh Chodesh and women. Maybe it will be two-way, we'll see. Everybody knows that there is an association between women and Rosh Chodesh. And if I would ask you, what is the connection between Rosh Chodesh and women, and why is it a special day for us? So we are actually careful. You dress a little bit better on Rosh Chodesh. You eat a little better on Rosh Chodesh. And you don't do certain malacha, which I don't think many people do anyway in the modern age. But in the a few years ago, they wouldn't sew. They wouldn't do some, you know, difficult women's tasks type of thing. It was a holiday for the women. Why is that? So you would tell me what?
Something with the moon.
Cycle. Rebirth, and women have a cycle, and the woman and the moon has a cycle, and what else? And what else would you say? Anything else about women in Rosh Chodesh? So, what we're here to do today is to delve into this subject. It is an area of deep machshava philosophy, quite fascinating. And the ideas you'll hear today are almost exclusively from my grandfather Rav Schwab. The way we start is to ask the question of when was this connection made between women and Rosh Chodesh? And the answer is? At the Chet Ha'egel. Okay? At the Chet Ha'egel in Parshas Kisisa, Perek Lamed Beis, 32, Pasuk Gimel. Aaron had told them, Pasuk Beis and Gimel, Aaron told the men who were in a frenzy to remove the golden rings which are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters. Vayomer aleim Aaron, parku nizmei hazahav, remove the golden rings, asher ba'aznei neshechem, that are in your wives' ears, and your sons, and your daughters. Go get their jewelry, their golden jewelry in their ears. And he told them, "Vahaviu a lion, bring it to me." But the next pasuk says, "Vayisparku kol am es nizmei hazav asher ba'aznehem," and they all took off their own earrings. So the Meforshim say there that there's an obvious change here. The fact that they took off their own earrings that were in their own ears is because the women absolutely refused as a group to participate, and they wouldn't give their jewelry to their husbands. They said no, and whatever arguments or fights ensued, the women were adamant they would not allow their jewelry to be used for the Chet Ha'egel. Therefore, at that time, we learn in the Torah Shebaal Peh, from Pirkei Derabbi Eliezer, here is part of a discussion of this matter on this pasuk, that they refused to participate, and therefore, velo kiblu, here's what he says, velo ratsu, the women did not want to, velo kiblu alehem, and they did not accept this command of their husbands to give their earrings away, ella amrulem, but rather they said to their husbands, lasot shikutz v'to'eva she'en bo koach lahatzil lo nishma lachem, we will not participate in this disgrace, this sheket, this something that is considered disgusting, a shikutz. And we will not participate. It has no benefit. V'nasan lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu scharan ba'olam hazeh. They receive their schar, which is quite unusual, because we generally learn that there's no such thing as schar in this world. And just for a moment, let me remind you, for those that have been here for a while, we've had discussions about the idea that all good things in this world, Rambam explains, are bracha, blessings, and they are not schar, rewards. Bracha, that Hashem rewards us with bracha, like the rain and prosperity and health and security and peace and all of that, in order that we can continue to do the mitzvahs to a greater extent. That's not schar, that's bracha. But real reward is not for this world. However, the Medrash says here, in Pirkei Derabbi Eliezer, Nasan lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu scharan ba'olam hazeh, they got some level of schar for refusing to participate in Egel in this world. And what is their schar? Shehein mishamrot roshei chadashim yoter min ha'anashim, that they are more careful to keep the sanctity of Rosh Chodesh, to preserve it, to keep it as a special day. V'nasan lehem schar le'olam haba, and Hashem also, in addition to giving them the special connection to Rosh Chodesh here, He also gave them schar for the future, and the future schar is shehein asidot l'schadesh k'mo roshei chadashim. They will be renewed like the moon is renewed every month. Now that is kind of elusive. What exactly do we mean exactly when we say they will be renewed as the moon is renewed? We will grow physically larger. We will have more light. What does that mean? We will start again. What exactly, what is a specific understanding of that? That's really our question. So the way we start out first is establishing number one, being that today, as we said, is Rosh Chodesh, for those that walked in. The relationship between women and Rosh Chodesh, it starts at the Egel. There's a two-tiered schar. One is here that we are especially careful of Rosh Chodesh. And number two, in the future, we have, like the moon, some future change that will take place waiting for us, and we will be restored. We will be renewed like the moon. And the question is, what does that mean? Now, let's begin to see, understand the moon and why the moon needs to be restored in order to understand how perhaps we will be restored like the moon. Okay? So when we start talking about the restoration of the moon, what are we talking about? What was the moon once that it isn't now that it will be restored to? So this should bring to mind that famous Medrash, okay? Based on the Pesukim in Parshas Bereishis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes Zayin, which says the following. This is in the creation story, fourth day. Vayas Elokim Eshnei HaMaoros HaGedolim. And Hashem made the two great lights. And then the next phrase is Esamor HaGadol Limshelas Hayom, the Esamor HaKatan Limshelas HaLaila, the great large one for the day and the small one for at night. So everyone's heard this before and everybody knows the Rashi. So Rashi says what? The moon was made smaller. Nismata HaLavana, the moon was diminished because it objected and it said, "Efshar l'shnei malachim sheishtamshu bekeser echad." It's not possible that two kings can wear one crown. Now, our job here is to understand what that means. What was the moon actually saying here? Okay, and although the moon is officially speaking, what of course this means is philosophically, there was a huge dilemma, and it's expressed through the moon. The moon says, "How can two kings wear one crown?" What was going on? Here's the whole Medrash, by the way, in a little bit more length. Rav Shimon ben Pazi points out a contradiction between the two psukim that we just read. So he says like this: the moon asked Hashem, "Is it possible for two kings to wear one crown?" Hashem answered, "Go and make yourself smaller." "Sovereign of the universe," cried the moon, "but because I have suggested that which is proper, must I then make myself smaller?" So Hashem replied, "Go, and you will rule by day and by night." "But what is the value of this?" cried the moon. "What is the value of a lamp in broad daylight?" So Hashem replied, "Go. Israel will count their days and their years through you." "But it is impossible," said the moon, "to do without the sun for the reckoning of the seasons, as it is written, that the sun will be a sign for the seasons." So Hashem said, "Go. The righteous shall be named after you, as we find Yaakov is called Katan, Shmuel is Katan, David is called Katan." On seeing that he would not be consoled, the Holy One, blessed be He, said, "Bring an atonement for me for making the moon smaller." Okay. So the Medrash says, the moon objected. "Why should I be made smaller?" So Hashem said, "Fine, you'll be there in the day and you'll be there in the night." He said, "But in the day there's a light in the sun. What do you need the moon?" So he says, "Oh, that's not going to console you, so we'll count by you." He says, "No, you can't only count by you. You must have the sun also to count by." He says, "Well, then you'll be katan, but great people will also be katan." And he said, "No, that's not good enough." So then Hashem said, "Fine, bring an atonement for me. Bring a korban chatas on my behalf that I made you smaller." Now, obviously, these midrashim are leading us into a very mysterious place. What are they speaking about? We've said so many times the Torah does not write in essay form. And from here we learn the da-da-da-da-da. The Torah speaks and the Midrashim speak and the Gemara speaks in riddles. And it's our job to try to understand them. One of the reasons that this is the style of Torah Shebal Peh is to ensure that it will always be a system that of necessity must be transmitted through a human being to another human being verbally. It's not something that you can pick up a book and figure it out without a teacher, without somebody who has the Masorah on it. It keeps the Masorah going. It keeps the connection all the way back to Sinai. one person to the next. It keeps our Torah Sheval Peh truly out of the hands of the non-Jews. They could read it, but without the Mesorah and the teaching, it makes no sense. So the question we have now is, what is this conversation, which we will come back to, and especially the end of the conversation, seeing that Hashem could not console the moon, he says, bring a korban chatas on my behalf. You have to atone for me. I did some type of chait by making you smaller. You refuse to accept that it's a good idea, even though I'm giving you consolation prizes, so bring an atonement offering on my behalf. Now, when the Medrash says this, when the Gemara talks about here, bring an atonement offering on my behalf, this is coming from a real pasuk. There is a pasuk that alludes to this in Parshas Pinchas, Perek Chaf Ches, Pasuk Yud, regarding the offerings you make on Rosh Chodesh. Among all the general offerings of Rosh Chodesh, there is an additional one. Se'ir Izim Echad Lachatas LaHashem. One Se'ir Izim for Achatas Al Hashem, Al Olas HaTamid, in addition to the Korban Tamid, the regular daily offering Yasev and Nischo, you should make an offer, another Chatas LaHashem, and you should pour its libation. So on those words, Seir Izim Echad Chatas LaHashem, simply would be translated, it's a Korban Chatas that you offer to Hashem on behalf of the Jews, on behalf of the Kohanim, the Levim, on behalf of the Mikdash. But that's not how Chazal read it. So the Gemara asks, this is a superfluous language. The Reish Lakish explains, Ma nishtana se'ir shel Rosh Chodesh, shenemar bo lahashem. This se'ir izim of the chatas of Rosh Chodesh is called se'ir, as we just said, chatas lahashem. They're not all called chatas lahashem, they're called chatas. Shenemar is stating regarding Hashem. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Se'ir Zeh, this goat, this male goat, Yehe Kapara, should be a Kapara, Al Shemi Atati Es Halavana, because I diminish the moon. So Klal Yisrael offering a Chatas on behalf of God, who needs somehow to get some type of atonement for diminishing the moon. Now, what are we talking about here? The whole conversation with the moon, two kings shouldn't wear a crown, make yourself smaller, that's not right, why should I? Okay, be there in the day, no, it doesn't work, that doesn't solve my problem. Alright, so they'll count by you, that doesn't solve my problem. People will be called katan, like your katan, that doesn't solve my problem. Alright, so bring a chatas on my behalf. So here's in Pinchas, it's your chatas lahashem, on behalf of Hashem. Where are we going? Also, I just want to read to you from the Kiddush Levana, which we don't say, women don't say. It is a mitzvah asei shezman grama, obviously. There are some others offer other suggestions for why women don't say it. But despite the fact that we don't say Kiddush Levana, we do have a special, as we said, connection to Rosh Chodesh, more than the men. So here in the brachos, in the tefillas rather, that the men say, and when they say Kiddush Levana, they say the following. It says, Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha, Hashem Elokai V'Elokei Avasai. It should be your will. Lemalos Pegimas HaLevana. To fill up the flaw. There's an inherent flaw in the Levana. V'lo Yehi Bashomiyot. There should no longer be in the Levana any diminution. V'yehi Or HaLevana Ka'or HaChama. And let the light of the Levana be like the light of the sun. Uka'or shivas yumei bereshis. This is the key. This is the hint. And it should be like the light of the 7 days of creation. Kamosha haisa koda mi'uta, like it was before it was diminished. Shenemar, and he quotes the pasuk we just said in bereshis, eshnei hama'oras hagdolim. That two pasuk, it should be again like the two great lights equal to the sun. V'yiskayim banu mikra shakasiv, and it should be fulfilled the verse which is said upon us. This should be fulfilled. Ubikshu es Hashem Elokechem, des David Malkam, Amen. That you shall seek Hashem and David your king, Amen. So our question here is, what is this? Is clearly a tefillah for the restoration of the moon. It should be like it was. It should be complete. It should be like the sun. It should be like Shivas, like the 7 days of creation. And if that's the case, then the next part of this will be fulfilled, which is Ubikshu es Hashem. We will naturally search for Hashem and for David. Somehow David HaMelech comes in here, some type of the Mashiach, it all comes here. It has to do with the completing, the restoring of the moon. leads us back to David HaMelech. So in order to begin to understand this argument of the moon and the diminution of the moon, and then beginning to understand women's connection to that. So my grandfather says here, in Parshas Pinchas, these are his words, very striking, and one of the gems, many gems in here, but one of the really shocking ones, he says like this, Libi Omerli, I think, my heart tells me, okay, not that he saw an actual source, Shegniza ta'ar l'tzadikim la'asid lavo, remember when Hashem made the ar, and then it says, Vayavdel Elokim ben ar ben achoshech Hashem divided, so Rashi, you know the famous Rashi, Hashem separated the ar for the tzadikim la'asid lavo. Now when we talk about that ar, we have to be very careful. That light that Hashem made on day one is obviously not the light of the sun, which is made on day four, right? Okay. Now, the question is this, and this has a lot of interesting implications. So which light shone during the Sheish Yesimei Bereishis? The light of the sun or the or of the first day? All the days when it says which light shone? So it seems to be, according to many, that none of the things Hashem created during the Sheish Yesimei Bereishis were actually operative during the Sheish Yesimei Bereishis. Everything was created and kind of set to go, but the go button was not pushed. Until when? So we learn in Bereishis that until man, Rashi tells us, until man was created, the whole system really wasn't, working. Hashem was waiting for man. Does anyone remember the pasuk? What was Hashem waiting for? Yeah, you're close. What? The rain. But who was why didn't Hashem bring the rain? Until man would daven. So here it says, "V'kol siach haseda terem pasuk perek beis pasuk 5." Okay. All the trees of the field were not yet on earth, and all the herb of the field was not yet sprouted, for Hashem had not sent rain upon the earth, for there was no man to work the soil. And Rashi says, working is tefillah. So, until there was man, which is at the very end of the sixth day, almost the beginning of the seventh day, the whole system wasn't going, because man wasn't there to daven. So it seems to be, it's possible to say, that during Sheish Yesimei Bereishis, although Hashem created everything, it wasn't really set into motion. So the light of the Sheish Yesimei Bereishis is known to be, it's called Or Shivas Hayamim, as we just saw in the piece we read from the Gemara. The Or Shivas Hayamim, the light of those days, seemingly even including Shabbos, was not the sun, it was the Or HaShechina. And that's the Or that after the days of creation, Hashem reserved for Tzadikim, La'asid Lavo, set the sun into motion, and that's why we count years from not the first day of creation, which is Chafei Elul, but Aleph Tishrei, which is when man is created right before Shabbos. So I guess you would say, probably by Shabbos, or somehow we're not, it's a little bit confusing. That's when time as we know it began. This, by the way, opens the door for a lot of discussion. My grandfather wrote an extremely important, popular, famous article in the circles of people who learn these things about the age of the universe, and argued in a very interesting way, bringing many proofs, that the 6 days of creation could easily be, without any issue, equivalent to millions and billions of years, because it wasn't the sun and the moon, and it wasn't the time as we know it, and it was an entirely different system, and blah, blah, blah. So if anyone wants to see that article, you can ask me. I have that at home. But in any case, the point is that the light of the 7 days, okay, the Or Shivas Hayamim is the Or HaShechina. It was ultimately reserved for the Tzadikim La'asid Lavo. The question is why? Why didn't the Or HaShechina stay like the sun, like the physical light that lights up the physical world? Why did not the Or HaShechina remain with us? Why did Hashem set it aside for the Tzadikim for the future? Why is it not here? Why isn't it that we see and we all have Nevuah and we all see the truth and we never get confused? Well, Hashem didn't keep it that way. Hashem did not allow it to remain like that. That was Hashem's choice. That's how Hashem set up the world. There was Shechina that permeated the world, and then it was removed. And so my grandfather says here, Libi Omerli, he says that, I think that the hiding of the Or for the Tzadikim for the future, the Or HaShechina, the Or of Shivas HaYamim, and the diminishing of the Levana until the day that Hashem will restore it, are not two different issues. They're the same thing. That it seems that the moon, when Hashem created the world, was meant to be associated with, it was meant to be the source of the Or HaShechina. As the sun would be the light, the physical light, so the moon would be the source of the Shechina. And Hashem diminished the moon, and that's the same thing as saying he hid the light for the tzaddikim la'asid lavo. Now why did Hashem do this? So the question is put into the mouth of the moon. Can two kings wear one crown? That is the question. So what does that mean? Two kings wear can two kings share a crown? This question seems to mean the following. It seems to mean that there's got to be one objective for human beings in this world. What is the purpose of creation? Is the purpose of creation that the truth, that the emes, that the shechina will be so self-evident, it'll be as if everyone has a huge level of nevuah all the time. Is that what you're doing here in this world? Is that the point? Is that what will lead to the recognition of Hashem? Or are you creating a physical world that doesn't look spiritual from the outside, and man is meant to use the physical world to come to recognize and to live by spiritual ideals? Is the world meant to be a world that is physical, and we use the physicality, the spirituality is transformed into physicality, and we live a physical world and elevate everything and make it ruchnius? Or is it a world that is bursting with ruchnius and everything is clear and there's no need to there's no work for the human being in the end to do anything? They're there, they've arrived. That's really the question. What is the nature of the world? And the answer is, the nature of the world is it's going to be a world of gashmius, of physicality, and the spiritual element of the world will be hidden, will be difficult to access, will be something you have to search for. In the darkness, you'll find it if you're careful and you look closely. It's the objective of life is that there should be a physical world, but the physical world can lead you to the spiritual truths, but that's the process you have to go through. And that's why he said, you must be diminished. So then the moon said, but the dangers involved. It's not a good idea, so to speak. This is fraught with danger. Refused to be consoled. And then Hashem said, all right, I have to bring a korban chatas on that I did this. So we offer a korban chatas on behalf of God for doing this. And means to say, this is very subtle, nothing, you can't make this too practical. This is very subtle and philosophical. It's as if there's an acknowledgement that the risk involved with diminishing the ruchnius and setting out people here in a world that's gashmius and asking them to find the ruchnius, okay, in between, to search for it in the darkness. You know, when do you see the moon? When it's dark outside. And sometimes you see it in its full glory, and sometimes you just see a piece of it. And then we know that Hashem gave the moon a lot of stars in order to kind of help it out, because then we know the pasuk, "Su shamayim einechem," look up to the heavens and ask yourself, "Mi bara ela?" Who created all of this? In other words, this moon and the stars lead people to ask the questions: what's up there? What's going on? Who made all this? It leads you to the right answer, but it's not glaring. The right answer is not glaring. And for 2,000 years, it was tohu vavohu until the Jews came on the scene. It's fraught with danger. So offering a chatas on behalf of God is kind of acknowledging this is the reality. This is how Hashem set it up. But there's danger involved. Much as could be lost in the process. And Hashem recognizes this in a sense. And yet nevertheless, this is the way it's going to be. Now, we talk about women. We talk about women and the moon. So my grandfather says by the Chet HaEgel in Kisisa that the reason women were rewarded with Rosh Chodesh in this world and to be renewed in the future, like the moon, is because women were meant to serve the very same purpose as the moon. There is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu which regarding the future says the following, and it's the source for why some people have the minhag for the man to walk around, for the woman to walk around the man seven times. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. There's a phrase in the pasuk which is Ki Bara Hashem Chadasha Ba'aretz. God will create something brand new in this world. Nekeva Tisovev Gever. The Nekeva, the female, we'll explain why he uses that word, will surround, Tisovev, surround a Gever, the man, the Gever. Many people, in recognition, as we said, of this future reality, have the minhag now at the wedding. So Gemara says here, in Yevamos, regarding the words Nekeva Tisovev Gever, says like this. Whoever does not have a wife, an unmarried man who doesn't have a wife, he lives below Torah or below Choma, without Torah and without a protective wall. As it says, as it's written, below Torah, here's the proof that a man who's not married lives without Torah. He quotes a pasuk, Ha'im ein ezrasi bi v'toshia nidcha mimeni, is my own helpmate not with me, is wisdom to be thrust aside from me. So without your helpmate, without your wife, there's no wisdom. And the proof that whoever lives without a woman, without unmarried, without a woman, is without a choma, without a protective wall, because the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Nekeva Tisovev Gever, a woman will surround the man. And they go on to say also below Shalom, without peace, and different things. In any case, Gemara in Yevamos says here that the woman is the protective wall. The tosovev is that the woman forms a protective wall around the husband and saves him from sin. So my grandfather says here that originally the role of women was to be the source like the moon of Yerushalayim, of true understanding in this world. Of Yerushalayim. And she was meant to be the one that was stronger and more aware and more perceptive of the Shechina, of the Ruchnius, and serve for the man to protect him from the mistakes that the world of the physical could lead him to. The moon wasn't the only creation diminished. The woman was also diminished. After the Chait, the sin of the punishment of the woman is also diminution, where instead of being the source of Yerushalayim in the world, she at that moment acted as the opposite, created more darkness. Their eyes were opened, but that's only because there was more darkness in the world, and when there's more darkness, you need your pupils, you know, expand, your eyes have to open wider. The eyes opening was not a good thing. Don't make a mistake and think they benefited from the sin. It was a reduction of level, indicated by more power to the sight. But the tikkun of women now is we are in the same position as the moon. Our essential nature is that we are meant to be the source of Yerushalayim. As the Gemara says, if a man doesn't have a woman, he's without a protective wall that will stop him from sinning. And he's without Torah. This is really the job of the woman. But the woman has been diminished because of the original mistake. However, the woman, as we see by Cheda Egel, has two rewards. She's attached to Rosh Chodesh in this world, and she is destined to be restored La'asid Lavo. Now, what type of restoration do we mean? We mean that La'asid Lavo, it'll be the women that will be the primary pillars of Yerushalayim and Shechina and the truth of the Ruchnius world in this world. So now it makes sense. In a number of instances where the women as a group, intuitively, they knew, they understood, and they served as that protective wall to try to stop the men from sinning, like at the Cheda Egel, where they refused to give their earrings. At that moment, they acted as they will act, as they were to act, as it will be again in the future, as the Choma, as the wall, trying to stop them from sinning, to make them see the truth, make them understand they were way off. So at that moment when they collectively acted as what women are meant to be, the stronger, the force of Yerushalayim and truth, they then immediately were told, this is, you are like Rosh Chodesh, you're like the moon. Also the moon is waiting to be restored. So the women, in a sense, are waiting to be restored. However, as we daven, as the men make a bracha in Kiddush Levana, they're constantly awaiting the restoration of the moon, which means what are we waiting for? We're waiting for that the Shekhinah should once again, we should merit, Hashem should change things after a long history, that the truth, that the spiritual revelation should be a common thing, should be like the sun every day. It should be a world illuminated, not just physically, but illuminated with all things true spiritually. We shouldn't make mistakes. We shouldn't be blinded. We shouldn't be confused. The MS and the Sheker should be evident, obvious, clear as day, so we wouldn't make mistakes and we wouldn't sin and we wouldn't get distracted. This is what the moon will do for us when it's restored. And this is also the restoration of women, to rejoin, to really recapture their rightful place as the source of the strength and the vision, the clarity, and the Yiras Shamayim. This is the rightful place of women. And here's where we begin to develop this a little bit further. The connection with David HaMelech. Right? And by the way, remember we said in the Kiddush Levana that they asked for the light to be restored as it was in the beginning, in the days of Bereshis. Now we understand that. The light of the moon, the light of the Shekhinah, was the main, was the operative light in the Sheishas Yimei Bereshis. That's what we're waiting for. Now, in addition to this, in the Gemara here, the Marsha comments on a statement by Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says the following, Bnei Yisrael, in their exile, are far removed from the privilege of receiving the Shekhinah. However, the renewal of the moon is a sign to Bnei Yisrael that they will be renewed just as the moon, and they will be glorified in greeting the Shekhinah, just as it is taught in the blessing of the new moon, and for that reason, blessing the new moon is like greeting the Shekhinah. This might be a reason why the women don't necessarily do Kiddush Levana, because it applies to us. We are in the same position. It is not something we're speaking about. It is our reality. We live with it. When men are Mekadesh Levana, it's like they're Mekadesh the Shekhinah, because there's a clear connection between the Ar HaLevana and the Ar HaShekhinah. In addition, our minhag in Kiddush Levana is to say, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, because his kingdom, David HaMelech, who's the grandfather of Mashiach, is compared to the moon and will be renewed like the moon. Ebenei Yisrael will then once again be married. Now we're introducing another element, marriage, chuppah, something else is coming in here. Klal Yisrael will be once again married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is why we organize simchas and dancing during Kiddush HaChodesh, just like we do at a wedding reception. This is from the Ramah explains, this is the minhag, if the men who daven Kiddush Levana dance a little bit. Because this is also an allusion to when the Shekhinah is once more powerful in this world, it'll be like a reunion between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. It'll be like a wedding after a separation, and there'll be great simcha. Now, this should trigger some thoughts. The reunion of Hashem and Klal Yisrael through the restoration of the Shekhinah is like a wedding. And what about the woman and her diminution, and what about all that and a wedding? We've spoken about this also in the past. And with this, we'll try to understand why the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, Nekeva, not Isha, to sovev Ish, but Nekeva, to sovev Gever. A female will surround a Gever, a male. Okay, so first of all, what's Nekeva? What's the Shoresh? Nun, kuf, vav, such as in which words? Nekavim, nekavim, which means holes. Nekeva, hole. So, there's one important hole in the woman's body, obviously, which makes her female. All right? And what's a gever? What is a shoresh? The gimel beis resh, gibor, gevura. We've spoken about this. We won't go through the whole thing, but we will just remind everybody. We'll remind everybody that when Hashem created man and woman, they were one, and their name was Adam. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, not because anybody sinned, just like with the moon, just like with diminishing the moon, that there was a decision, Hashem was going to set up the world where there was a strong, powerful influence of Ruchnius, but it would be hidden and we'd have to find it and draw it out. Which is, by the way, of course, you're thinking this, the first mitzvah Klal Yisrael ever got, of course, was Rosh Chodesh. This is our whole perspective on life and history and everything. Hashem had Ish and Isha, okay, were one, perfect. That was the same time when the Shekhinah was illuminating the world, where everything was perfect, and this human being, this male, female, was Tzelem Elokim, and all of what was physical was a perfect representation of what was spiritual at the same time. And Hashem, not due to any sin, it was a choice, it was the way Hashem decided to set up this world, put them into a tardema, deep sleep, which is night, same time when the moon shines, and he forcibly separated this perfect creature into two halves. And one half would be the Nekeva, and that's what she's called, the Nekeva. And one half would be the Zachar, the male. And the Nekeva half would have a hole. In other words, there's something missing that needs to be filled. The Nekeva is, of course, becomes the Mekabel, the receiver. Now, you might argue, and it's not relevant to this discussion, that there are many differences between men and women, psychological, intellectual, emotional. You might argue there really aren't any, it's just all culture and society. But one thing nobody can argue, that physically they're different. And what makes them different is that woman is a mekabel, a receiver. She has a nekev, nekavim, nekavim. She's a nekeva, she's the receiver. And man is the giver. Certainly in the act of child's, creation of children. So you have here also that a part of the perfect creature was diminished way before she ever ate from the Eitz Hadas. And I would argue, because we've spoken about this here, because she was diminished is why she ate from the Eitz Hadas. That's clearly what the motivation was, what the Nachash played on, but that we've spoken about in the past. She was diminished and became the receiver. Just like the moon was originally a giver of light, a mashpia, like the sun, and then it became a receiver. Today all the moon does is receive the light of the sun and reflect it further. Okay? So woman also was originally part of the giver, the perfect creation, part of the clear world where the Shekhinah was evident and accessible. The woman represents, like the moon, the change, the diminution, becomes a makabel, a receiver. And this is the reality. The woman is the mashal. This really happened, the separation of Ish and Isha. But as we've explained, this is a grand mashal. And the mashal, and like the moon, the woman is a mashal for humanity. Humanity will be not through their very existence clearly aware of Hashem's presence as they were before the reduction, the separation, when they were called Tzelem Elokim, because after that, they're never called Tzelem Elokim again. Perek Aleph, they're called Tzelem Elokim, but in Perek Beis, where they're separated, they are no longer ever called Tzelem Elokim. Okay? So, she represents the change. She represents humanity's reality, which is, we were at one with the Ruchnius, but then we were separated. There was a pirud. And now we have to receive the Ruchnius. And we have to allow, like the earth has to receive the rain, like the moon receives the sun's lights, the woman has to receive physically in her act in order to be, once she receives, by the way, she becomes then a giver, a mashpia, a creator of life. But she has to allow herself to be receiving the ruchnias. She is not the source of ruchnias. Okay? So, but this is a temporary situation. This is the way Hashem set up the world. The woman stands in the position, she represents all of humanity. All of humanity did not see themselves as playing out the role of Isha. It was only the Jewish people who got the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. It's only the Jewish people who understood that we are the Nekeva. Our job here is to recognize that we need to reconnect with the Shekhinah. The first thing Hashem did after the Pirud is bring them back together. Klal Yisrael were the first people to realize that our job is to reconnect with our source. Reconnect with our source, to be makabel, to receive. That's how we reconnect with our source. And when we're reconnected in physical, man and woman are together back as one, that's how they were before the separation. That's a mashal. When Klal Yisrael receive, and what was our greatest act of receiving? Kabbalah Satorah. We make ourselves able to take from HaKadosh Baruch Hu everything, put our own agendas aside, put our own opinions aside, just accept. Then we're reunited with Hashem. The Shekhinah bursts forth on this world. Vayered Hashem al ahar. That's how it was before the diminution, before the separation. the way it was, and the way it was when it was perfect. But of course, that was not the way it was meant to stay. It was never meant to stay like that. It was for a moment. And then again, Hashem's Shekhinah receded, and humanity became more human once more. And it wasn't, and then we begin our process through history. But we go through history with the perspective of the understanding that it's a ebb and flow, and it's not due to sin. It's built into the system. This is how it has to be. And the women live it. We live it because we have within us the ability to be like the moon. We were once a powerful source of the truth, of the Shekhinah, but then we represent, as we said, humanity learns from us. We have to be makabel. We are not the mashpias. We are more makabel, and certainly expressed through, as we said, physical act of creation. But once in a while, the women as a whole rise to the challenge. The whole nation, like in Mitzrayim, Nashim Tzidkaniyos, and by the eagle, the whole nation rises to a challenge and gives the world a little glimpse, a little light in the darkness of who we really are. And at that point, it's affirmed for us our relationship to Rosh Chodesh. So when we have Rosh Chodesh, we always remind ourselves of this long story that's still playing itself out through history. Of the moon itself was a source of Shekhinah, will be restored to a source of Shekhinah. And this reunion now, now we talked about David HaMelech and Mashiach, and it's a wedding, and they're dancing. So when the woman who represents humanity, Klal Yisrael, who have taken on the role that all of humanity should have played, are successful in reuniting with the Shekhinah, for example, on Har Sinai, when Hashem comes down, that's like a chuppah, right? That's a chuppah. It's called a chuppah. And the luchos are ksuva. It's like a wedding. What we're really, when man and woman who were one were forcibly separated, the first thing Hashem does is brings them back together. And he tells man, Al ken yazov ish, you should leave your mother and your father and cling to your wife. And that's also the reunion. That also represents when a man and woman find each other and marry. This is also a chuppah. So we live through the same ebb and flow, the same cycle of recognizing that in this world, the way it's built, is that there are time periods of history, and we recognize this from our own physical experience, that we feel there's a period, a separation between Hashem and the Jewish people, between the Ruchnias and the Gashmias. It's two different worlds, two different, like, you know, in a circus, something's happening here and something's happening here, but they're not one and the same. We feel sometimes that there's a period, a separation between Hashem and the Jewish people, certainly in dark times, certainly in Gullus. But we recognize that when it's not really true. It's not really true. It's a temporary thing. It's part of how the system has to be. But this diminution, this separation, this reduction is not the way it must be forever. It's just a phase, and Hashem separated us al manas in order to bring us back together. The moon will be restored. Women and men and Klal Yisrael and Hashem will come back together, and that reunion is the chuppah. That reunion is the marriage, and with that reunion comes the balance and the harmony of all things in the world. And notice, by the way, the big day for making chuppahs, making weddings in Bnei Yisrael and in Klal Yisrael in our history was which day? Not only Rosh Chodesh, but what main day of the year was for designated for Shidduchim? Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, after they died, they did the Avoda in the morning. They did the Avoda in the morning. When the string on the Kohen Gadol's leg turned white, which means there was a kapara, which means there was a reunion between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, which means the Shekhinah, the Jewish people had successfully integrated the spiritual and the physical. They had done okay. Right? That day, the rest of the day was designated to dancing and that whole party and the men and the women and Shidduchim all day. That's what they did. Because it was a chuppah between Hashem and Klal Yisrael also, because it was a reunion. And Tu B'Av, by the way, was also, and we won't talk about this now, but I'll just give you a little hint. Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av are very important days. Yom Kippur is the slicha on the two major sins where there was a pirud between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, a huge rift between them. One was the breaking of the luchos, the restoration, the tikkun on that was Yom Kippur, so that's the day of chuppah. One was, of course, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so the restoration of that is Tu B'Av. And if you can figure out why Tu B'Av is the day we celebrate the restoration, the Tikkun, on the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, you tell me. Why Tu B'Av? It's a full moon, is true. When the third Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, what day will it be? Tisha B'Av will be the restoration of the third Beis HaMikdash. So, how many days later is Tu B'Av? Seven. So, Tisha B'Av, the ninth day, and sixth day, yeah, but true, but the truth is, it's the seventh day of what? Well, you'll understand in a second. There are 6 days of... what do you do when you have a Mishkan? You just set it up and use it right away? Chanukah Samishkan. And Tu B'Av is the day when there will finally be the final day, which is when dedicate the Mizbeach, begin the Avoda, and that is the day of the dedication of the Bayis Shlishi. And so the two great sins, which is the loss of Torah and the loss of Eretz Yisrael, by the way, both are linked to Shavasar B'Tamas. That's when the Luchos are broken and the walls of Yerushalayim are breached. They go together. Loss of Torah inevitably leads to loss of Eretz Yisrael. The restoration of both is Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. These are days of chuppah, of marriages, of reunion between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. I wish everybody a wonderful Rosh Chodesh.